Off the ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.
Hello there, welcome along to Wednesday evening's Off the Ball. Wednesday, of course, means Wednesday Night Rugby. We've got Keith Wood with us as usual and Brian O'Driscoll popping in for Wednesday Night Rugby this evening, so that's on the way after 8 o'clock. We will have Premier League action, including Manchester United Arsenal at 8 o'clock. Philippe Auclair will join us pre-kickoff to preview all that. And Richard Dunn will join us on the Monaco-Nice derby, which may not make much sense to you, but Richard Dunn lives in Monaco and goes to all the Monaco games. The reason we're talking about Monaco-Nice is that it's more the Thierry Henry versus Patrick Vieira derby, hence the interest. That's on this Friday night, so we'll see how both managers are getting on in the eyes of Richard. 53106 is the text number. We are at Off the Ball on Twitter. Richie's here as usual. Hello.
Hey, Joe.
And Johnny Ward's here.
Looking forward to hearing Richard Dunn, one of the true legends of the game, really, in Irish football.
It's true.
And a gent as well.
A gent, yeah.
Absolute gent.
Yeah, he's a good man. So he's out there. He goes to most Monaco home games. I mean, it is strange that we have Philippe Auclair talking about the Premier League action and Richard Dunn talking about the Monaco-Nice derby, but he's out there. He goes to most Monaco games, has a good feel for things. It seems, even though on the face of it, Thierry Henry is not doing brilliantly, to be fair to him, the injury crisis is living up to its billing. A recent game against PSG had, of the squad of 24, 25, had 16 injuries.
You were saying that earlier, before we came on, and I was like, kind of reminded me of, the, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. How can that many players get injured? It just seems completely incomprehensible.
Yeah, because they're meant to have a great facility and all the best people and there's plenty of money and they train up in the hills. And
nothing will be left to chance in Monaco and the Principality.
Yeah, I would think so. I was in Monaco once, a very strange kind of a place, you know.
Why so?
Well, you're just, you're walking around as a tourist and you're very obviously a tourist, as most people there are. And then it's just so small. I mean, you can't overstate how small it is. It's like, it's, you know, we think it's like Dublin city centre. It's even smaller. It's just tiny. And you start to see the same dude driving his Lamborghini around and you can only conclude he's just doing laps to be seen and be photographed by tourists. And because he's bored, he's just doing it for the attention. And then there's a bunch of tourists.
It's one of those places watching. You feel poor.
Oh, you sure do. Yeah.
But you might feel richer for your poverty in a way, because like that life, it'd be very boring after a while. I spent time in the south of France in Aix-en-Provence, which is really, really nice part of France. And I thought the people were just, they were products of their wealth, that way. I'd say if you went to Marseille, you'd get a very different experience.
Yeah, well, we did the whole kind of south of France and you get to see various kinds. So the way it seems to work is if you're in the Monaco bloodline, and it's not as narrow as you might think, it's diverse enough, and you live there, you just get the wealth. You're just kept wealthy. They make all the money off the casino, and it's simple, a tax haven, obviously, as well. And
simple so, dynastical sort of system.
Yeah, no, it's very simple. It seems to work quite well for them. I mean, if you're born in the right family, you're going to do very well, and you'll be looked after, and your kids will go to school with the other kids who are of a similar family, and you just get money from the state. The other kind of striking thing about it is, because it is a tax haven, I remember walking out from the casino, and it almost feels like a Hollywood set in that there's zero litter. Like, there's not even a... Oh yeah,
like
there's not even chewing gum that's been stood there. Yeah, exactly, like Malahide.
Outside Gibney's.
So it's like a Hollywood set. And all the apartments, this could be 7 or 8, 9 o'clock in the evening. There's no light in the vast majority of the apartments.
Would you live there?
Oh no, no way. But there's no light because nobody is actually there.
Yeah.
They're just not. It's not a residence, it's a business. Like, it's like Johnny Ward Inc. is there so he can funnel his tax through there, you know?
Yeah.
So it's empty, and for a huge percentage of the place, it's just, there's no lights on.
I used to, like Pyongyang, I used to live in the IFSC, and that was a strange experience, because it was just so dead at night, like nothing happened, and it's probably still the same.
Like, I live near there, and it's the exact same. At night, it's just, it shuts down almost entirely.
And the bars were, so moribund 5 nights a week, and they weren't much better at the weekends. It was just like a place where was convenient in terms of where you worked, but there's no soul whatsoever. Sorry, CJ Haughey, but it just...
Sorry, he's dead.
Yeah.
He didn't build it for soul.
He didn't build it for Seoul.
Didn't do many things for Seoul, to be quite honest.
No, but yeah, strange. I prefer living in the heartland of Dublin 8.
Is that right, yeah?
The heartland of Dublin.
A more authentic place, as Johnny Ward.
You're real. You're like J-Lo.
I mean, I was walking past the Paddy Power on Mead Street there.
Other bookmakers available.
Recently. Yeah, there are on Mead Street. I think there are three. And there was just like a traffic jam with just a horse and cart, just kind of horse looking into the Paddy Power shop. And
you're in danger of heading down Partridge territory here, to be honest.
Yeah, it's just
on their cheeks.
It's like a throwback to another era, that part of Dublin, but it's kind of cool for all of that. It's going to become very, very hip as well.
I was just about to say, you're about to be bought out of there. Like, no, don't worry. Dublin 8 stays are number two.
Stony Batter is gone that way, and yeah, Mead Street, Francis Street is going that way.
Stony Batter's gone. That ship has sailed. Yeah, those days are over.
How do you know somebody lives in Stony Batter?
They tell you.
They bloody well tell you about it. They really do.
I tell you one thing though, they want to sort out the roads in Stony Batter as a cyclist. They're absolutely appallingly bad. Like, so bad.
But they're quote unquote authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, too cool. Dublin's quirks and streets are just not compatible with cycle lanes.
No, it's actually.
Blame is a claim, Joe. Just remember that. Where there's blame, there's a claim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even you can be a rich man from a broken ankle.
But even look how narrow the quays are. Mental.
Part of the reason I cycle around Dublin is because it's so bloody dangerous. It's actually a bit of a thrill. Like, it's so dangerous. Mm. And my my front and back
cycling through town for kicks.
My front and back lights were stolen over the weekend outside of Newsock. But you know, you look at it and it's like the bike wasn't.
They stole your lights.
They did.
You're trying to blame us by implicating the whereabouts of that.
It was outside Newsock.
What would they do with your lights, really?
I mean, I'd
what
say
they do with the back lights of a bicycle.
They were honestly worth about five nicker, I'd say. Like, why didn't you just go ahead and rob the bloody
bike?
While you were
yeah,
there?
Yeah,
like,
you'd respect them then.
Yeah, there was another time when I was working in the Irish Independent. My bike lock was stolen, but the bike wasn't, and I could never figure out what happened there.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and everyone was like, "You just didn't bring the bike lock in, did you?" And I was like, "No, no, I definitely did." And what I imagined was like John, as we're going to call him, in the middle of his heist. Was spooked and just did a runner, forgot to leave the bike lock back. He's like, "Well, I didn't get the bike, but I did get the bike lock." So like, it was probably the same the weekend where like the two dudes meet up in some sort of scenario. And they're like, "Well, how'd you get on?" Mm. "Oh, yeah, the bike was a bit of a hassle, but wow, look at this! I have like a back and a front €5 at max, I'd say, lighting system."
It's a bit of a mystery, all right. And why is cycling around Dublin so dangerous?
Lack of bus lanes, and I suppose the roads are terrible a lot of the time. Yeah. And I've gotten out of this now with the generally reckless behaviour of cyclists as well. And I think the guys, Deliveroo and those guys, like the complete disregard for the rules, like it's way out of order. Like, and it's given cyclists a bad name. And like, if you talk to a taxi driver about cyclists, he's odds on to give out. Mm-hmm. And he's probably right. Mm-hmm. You know, they just complete ignorance of the rules as if like, oh, sure, it doesn't matter. Mm. I once went through a traffic light on the South Circular Road and the cops pulled me over. And they were like, and I was like, I remember the same day I was a bit unwell the same day, shall we put it that way. And I got a bit of a heart pounding situation, like, what's this about? Like, and they go, "You just went through a red light." And they just brought in kind of regulations at that time, I think, to clamp down on cyclists. Mm. And I kind of made it my mission that I wasn't going to do that again. And in general, I just stopped. I just don't go through red lights anymore.
So what will happen to you if you go through a red light on a bicycle in front of a guard? Stop you.
He's long odds on not to give a damn, which is fair enough. But like, yeah, when I spend time in Iran and the traffic, basically, traffic works over there by complete ignorance of the traffic lights. They're completely ignored. So traffic is flowing the whole time.
Yeah.
So if you're a cyclist in that situation, fine, you can ignore. But not in Dublin, just because you're delivering, like, you know, a Ruby Murray to somewhere in, you know, Malahide. I just mentioned Malahide.
That's curry there, Joe.
Iran, if anyone, it's probably a long shot anyone can actually relate to what I'm talking to here, but when you're crossing the road in Iran as a pedestrian, the traffic doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. It just skirts around you. So you will cross like an 8-lane mm-hmm. road in the middle of Tehran, and traffic just, it's such a thrill. And like, if you ever bring anyone there, you're like, just watch this. Mm. So like, it's something you never do in the Western world. You just literally have to walk across.
Just gotta do it.
They're not going to stop. They're just going to come like by your knees and, you know, by your ankles. They won't hit you. They're amazingly good drivers.
We did that in Morocco as well, actually.
Yeah, I think it's like a Middle Eastern / North African thing. It's just, that's how they drive it. I remember the first night I was there, and I was driven from the airport into the city, and the way your man was driving, almost inevitably while smoking and kind of like with one hand, I was just like, this is insane. Mm-hmm. And then you get used to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, like everything, I'm sure they're good drivers and good at crossing the roads
and
as
great
a consequence.
People, much better than the Western media would have you believe.
I believe that as well. Why were you in Iran?
I was just on the market for a holiday and I was like, let's go somewhere obscure. And on the way to, I had to get two buses. I was living in Inchicore at the time, 78A into town, and then the bus to the airport. So I left my bag on the 78A, got to the airport, I was like, oh, I have no clothes. So I was on the way, like, I was like, okay, I'll buy clothes over there. And then I was on the way to, got off in Istanbul, had 4 hours to stop off in Istanbul before the Tehran flight. So I did what you do in Istanbul. I went in and I had a kebab and it was lovely. Came back and then I was reading My Lonely Planet, coming to the end of it as we probably entered Iranian airspace. And the Lonely Planet guy tells me, your ATM card and Visa card is effectively useless in Iran because of Western sanctions. So I was like, but I only have like 20 quid on me. So I had no clothes, I had no money. I knew no one over there, not a soul, and it was the best holiday I've ever had. Because you just had to get, I sold my camera to a Korean whose camera had been stolen. Met an English guy who accompanied me for a couple of days and he gave me like 100 quid. It was incidentally called David Batty, always an easy name to remember. And the most memorable part of the trip was we were getting a 13-hour bus to Shiraz from Tehran, and that's a long bus ride, like 13 hours. Mm-hmm. But the rail system over there wouldn't be great. Like, but when the two of us, myself and David, got on the bus, all the window seats were taken. So this Iranian guy just gets up and he goes, are you sitting together? And he goes, oh, I go, yeah, but it's fine. He goes, no. So he gave up his window seat so we could sit together. And I've been friendly with him ever since. Great trip. What's going on in the world of sport, meanwhile?
How did we start off in that?
Traffic in Dublin.
Traffic in Monaco.
Monaco. We started off on the Nice-Monaco derby. That was a hell of a journey.
Probably over by now, is it?
There you go, kids. That's a tangent.
Wow. That's a hell of a move from Nice-Monaco to Tehran, and it all made perfect sense along the way.
Would Richard Dunn would he have played in Tehran? Was he around at that time?
Well, he was part of that campaign. It was just whether or not he played, yeah.
I remember asking Kenny Cunningham about it. What was your, like, best experience of an away game? He actually said Tel Aviv. So it was an amazing atmosphere there.
Well, Tehran, they all seemed to really enjoy the sense of countdown on the plane as the plane took off and they could crack open the alcohol. You know,
the
players.
Like,
it was one of the great flights home, by all accounts.
Didn't play that day.
You can.
Richard Dunn didn't.
Nicely done.
Who played? Kenny?
Given Finn and Staunton, Breen, Kilbane.
Breen.
He is, yeah. Matt Holland, Mark Kinsella, J-Mac, David Connolly and Robbie Keane.
Okay, we have to keep moving here.
Iranian traffic.
Haughey did Temple Bar for Soul, Art and Culture and look what we did with it. Jesus. At least the IFSC.
Haughey gave us his only son and we turned him into a tourist hotspot.
At least the IFSC.
Stag dump.
Generated thousands of jobs in the IFSC. Not too shabby, says Mick and Galway. I've no issue with the IFSC at all.
No, it's just
culturally
dead
moribund.
At night. It's culturally moribund.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's text coming in. If the lock is the only thing worth stealing, probably a sign that the bike shop screwed you on the bike. Vietnam, no one stops anywhere. Just walk across the road and the motorbikes just go around you. But the important thing is don't stop, keep marching.
That's exactly it.
That's very true, generally. I mean, the worst thing you can do if you're crossing the road and there's a car or a bike and it's the unpredictability of someone who stops and you don't know which way they're going to go, just try and keep a smooth...
It's a truism of life, Joe.
Do you know, very briefly, I went back to Iran.
Very briefly.
I doubt
sadly,
this is going to be.
This needs to be sadly, so brief.
First time I was over there, your phone was absolutely useless. You couldn't, there was no such thing as WhatsApp. You literally
couldn't.
You should
have researched this holiday bit.
And unfortunately, then it was great. So it was like you literally couldn't use your phone for anything for a week. Mm-hmm. And then unfortunately, the next time I went back, they'd kind of caught up on WhatsApp and Gmail and all that.
And the world had caught up with you.
Yeah, it had, but it wasn't a better place for that.
Oh, I hear you. I find I'm not enjoying it. You know the old go online, and now I'm the one. No, we need to move on. I was just going to say, you know when you go online.
You can come back to it.
I love a good beach holiday. Lie there for 10 days a week and just read books. And
how can you love that?
I just do. I like it.
Yeah, it's good.
It's been ruined now because the phone has caught up and there's no data roaming charges. And honestly, WhatsApp is humming away. Twitter. All the stuff that you kind of want to get away from.
You just have to leave it behind, Joel.
I know you do, but it's right there. And then
Spotify's on there, you see.
You're 8 hours on a beach. There's a lot of time to just check your phone. You know?
Well, you're always on call. Like, that's, you know, society demands now that you're on call. Like, And as a journalist, society almost demands that, like, you have to be on social media as well, and various other things besides.
It's definitely on holiday. You know, I didn't feel the pressure I need to be on top of things. It's just, you just start reaching for WhatsApp. It's terrible.
Terrible.
It's ruined the beach holiday.
Do we have any time to even discuss WhatsApp?
Very quickly, we know we are going to get in. The news round brought to you this evening with Screwfix.ie, championing the trade, a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products. So, the Premier League offering this evening is very good, I have to say. Yep. You've got team news, Man United, Arsenal.
Four of the Premier League's top five sides in action tonight, and potentially, as I say, the highlight being Manchester United playing host to an Arsenal side unbeaten in 19 games in all competitions. The teams are in. David De Gea starts in goal for United. It looks like they're going with a back three of Eric Bailly, Chris Smalling and Marcus Rojo, with Joe Dalot and Matteo Darmian as the wing-backs. And Herrera and Nemanja Matic are in midfield, and in front of them, Jesse Lingard and Marcus Rashford, who flank Anthony Martial. For Arsenal, Bernd Leno starts in goal. Hector Bellerin, Shkodran Mustafi, Socrates Papastathopoulos, Rob Holding and Sead Kolasinac are there back five. Lucas Torreira and Matteo Guendouzi are in midfield. Ahead of them, Aaron Ramsey and Alex Iwobi, with Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang leading the line. Elsewhere, Liverpool will look to close the gap on leaders Man City to 2 points when they travel to Burnley. Seven changes from the side that started the Merseyside derby win on Sunday.
Keita is in.
He is.
He has to have a big game. He's just not really done it so far.
Hasn't fired. Alisson starts in goal. Joe Gomez at right back, as he was in the Champions League away to PSG. Virgil van Dijk and the incoming Joel Matip in centre half. Alberto Moreno comes in for Andrew Robertson at left back. In midfield, Jordan Henderson, James Milner and the aforementioned Naby Keita. And then the front trio, which is not a familiar looking one, Jerdan Shaqiri, Daniel Sturridge and the hero from Sunday, Divock Origi. For Burnley, Joe Hart, Phil Bardsley, James Tarkowski, Ben Mee and Charlie Taylor across the back. Johan Berg, Goodmanson, Jack Cork, Ashley Westwood and Robbie Brady across the midfield, with Ashley Barnes and Chris Wood giving the aerial attack for Burnley. For Kelvin Davis will be in charge of Southampton for their meeting with Tottenham at Wembley. The Saints today appointed former RB Leipzig boss Ralf Hasenhüttl on a 2.5-year deal to succeed Mark Hughes. Saints chairman Ralf Kruger says today that Hasenhüttl embodies the passion, structure, communication, skill set, work ethic and appetite for growth that they strive for in our capitalised Southampton way.
I read that earlier.
Obviously, like, that's a load of PR guff.
It's the greatest hogwash ever.
Hasenhüttl does seem to be really highly regarded. Did a pretty amazing job at Leipzig.
Great job at Ingolstadt as well.
And has been described as, I saw Sky Sports, it was kind of an irritating thing to do, Sky Sports News, they said, and Hasenhüttl has been described as an extraordinary person. Didn't say who had said it or what the context was. Just
like, I just
guy.
Did that.
It could have been his teacher for all I know. But I'm looking forward to seeing what he's like. So he's on the way pretty much imminently. He's in the ground this evening. Chelsea play Wolves?
Yes, indeed they do. And Chelsea start with Kepa Arrizabalaga at the back. A back four of Cesar Azpilicueta, Antonio Rudiger, Andreas Christensen and Marcus Alonso. Cesc Fabregas and N'Golo Kante and Ruben Loftus-Cheek make up the midfield. And in the front three, it's Willian, Eden Hazard and Alvaro Morata. For Wolves, Rui Patricio starts in goal. Back three then of Ryan Bennett, Connor Cody and Willy Bolly. Matt Doherty and Ruben Vinagre make up the wing-backs. Roman Sass and Jerome Moutinho are in midfield. Morgan Gibbs-White, the 18-year-old, Diogo Jota and Raul Jimenez are up front for them. Elsewhere tonight, Claudio Ranieri in Fulham welcome his former side Leicester to Craven Cottage, and at Goodison Park, Everton take on Newcastle.
We've quite a few players playing tonight.
Yeah, not bad. Robbie Brady, good to see him starting. We'll give you updates right across the evening. We've got reporters at the grounds. We'll talk to Philippe Auclair specifically more so about Man United against Arsenal. That's coming up after the news round. It has been no less than 82. That's 82 league and cup matches since we've had benches without either Ferguson or Wenger. So the last time Arsenal played United was August 1986.
Wow.
Extraordinary thing. We won't see them again.
86.
Anytime soon, no.
What age were you then, Joe?
One.
It's disgraceful.
So, big blow for Westmeath.
Yeah, they look like being without last year's captain, John Heslin, for their 2019 campaign. New Westmeath manager John Cooney told the Westmeath Independent that Heslin hasn't returned to the squad as he concentrates on his PhD studies. However, if things do change in Heslin's life, the door is always, of course, open for him. Ray Kinnella won't be joining the squad either, as despite his release from AFL side St Kilda, he has returned to Australia to pursue a career. Paddy Jackson has been omitted from the Perpignan squad to face Connacht in the Challenge Cup this coming Saturday. The former Ireland out half left Ulster for the French top 14 side after he was acquitted of a rape charge at a trial in Belfast back in March. But with Perpignan bottom of the top 14 and festive games upcoming with Racing and Clermont, they've opted to send a weakened squad to the sports ground. Busy day, Foyleside for Derry City, Declan Devine making a trio of new signings. Goalkeeper Peter Cherry joins the Candy Stripes, having left Cork City this week, and he'll likely replace Gerard Doherty, who's departed with Crusaders, a likely destination for the 37-year-old stopper. Kieran Cull departs Finn Harps after his testimonial season and helping them gain promotion, while defender Ali Gilchrist leaves after a season at Shamrock Rovers. Meanwhile, Jamie McDonough has signed a new contract at the Brandywell, having joined from Sligo at the end of the 2017 season. Cork City, though, look set to lose one of their star players. It's been reported that English League One side Doncaster are on the verge of signing Kieran Sadlier. The 24-year-old has a string of admirers and is out of contract.
Here's one for you, right? You know, what would you have been into your tunes?
Yeah.
So is that, Sadlier is obviously linked with Doncaster, so is Sean McLaughlin. I'm not sure that's going to happen. But I was at an Interpol gig.
In Donny?
What?
In Doncaster?
No.
All right.
In the Olympia. Just listen to the rest
of the
story.
I thought you were a traveller, you know?
It wasn't Iran. But anyway, none other than Sean McLaughlin was there. And I was like, that's pretty impressive for a lad who's like 21 to be an Interpol fan. And he goes, oh, I like my music, not the rubbish like that some of the other lads kind of would be into.
He takes after Brian Kerr then.
Likes his tunes.
Brian Kerr loves his tunes. Brian Kerr is spotted at Wilco gigs.
Oh,
sure, he loves Wilco.
That's mad.
I know.
Never knew that. One of my favourite bands.
He was up at the Rory Gallagher festival up in Ballyshannon as well, was our Mr. Kerr.
What a champ.
So not only is he a football doyen, he is a man of his tunes as well.
No more than yourself, Richie.
Yeah, and he's brought down to the picnic on the Proviso 2 years ago that he's getting a free ticket for it. He's like, I'm going off to see some bands.
What a champ. But anyway, Sean McLaughlin, in fairness, he knows his tunes.
That's good.
Yeah, and he's...
it's a rarity in football.
He's a great, great young lad.
Are there any other League of Ireland players out there who actually are...
into their tunes?
Give us a shout.
What's going up in Tomlin this evening?
I've got tickets for Noel Gallagher and Dove's giveaway, Joe.
Kevin Kilbane will be all over that.
He will be. I've got an interview with Hilary Woods, ex of JJ72 and now a solo star in her own right. And
They were kind of a coming force and on the cusp of greatness and acclaim, and it maybe died away from them.
A little bit. Second album didn't do much, and then it kind of petered out from that point on.
That tough second, difficult second album.
Difficult second
course,
album, Joe.
Richie.
As we'll all find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, in our own time.
Anyway, so that's on the way. You're in the hot seat after 10.
I am.
Double jobbing.
I might
actually turn that on. I haven't listened to it yet. I might, you know, I cycle home. I'll be back pretty much for 10.
Match of the Day not on tonight, no?
Yeah, we'll be. Yeah,
then we'll, another time.
As Jim says in the Royal Family, you know, it's a thought that counts.
Yeah, listen, we'll be thinking of you.
Don't forget the listen back function on the News Talk app, kids. Good news. An international is on his way to Sligo Rovers. The Bitter Red have signed Bermuda captain Dante Leverock from Estonian side Narva Trans. The centre-half scored 8 goals in the Estonian League from defence last year. Will the 2019 season of All-Ireland Champions is nothing better than a full international coming to the league, especially here?
I love these signings. Like, you know, when Charles Babas Livingston came to Patcher, like, who's this guy? And then he turns out to be an absolute, like, proper baller.
Jimmy Agri,
remember him? The Estonian League, like, wouldn't be as bad to suggest that, like, 8 goals from centre back, whatever he got, is not. Wherever Bucco picked him up.
Can we finish with the latest on Ronnie O'Sullivan, and then we got to wrap things up to go to Philippe?
We can indeed. He won 6 frames in a row today to breeze into the UK Championship quarterfinals. The Rocket came from
worst,
a frame
like,
down
news report ever.
To beat Jack Lazowski 6-1 in York. Stephen Maguire came from 4-0 down to beat world champion Mark Williams 6-5. And this evening, just underway, in fact, Mark Allen is taking on Neil Robertson.
I won't lie, listeners. The truth is there's very little news today, so we were just talking trash.
On a poker table with Mark Allen.
We were trying to camouflage. You were who?
I was once in a poker table with Mark Allen and I finished second to him. And he absolutely, like, he did nothing but bluff for the whole game. But he was one of the going knights. Lovely, lovely guy.
And is he good?
No, he was just a complete bluffer. But when he bluffed, he won. And I was like, God, your attention span wasn't great there. And he says, like, yeah, it's kind of, that's my problem in snooker. It's just keeping.
Is that right, yeah?
Keeping focus.
I can see how.
He's such a talented player.
I can see how.
And I'm told he reliably that he could have a chance to win the World Championships this year.
Okay. So. On the very brief point, and we'll go to Philippe on the poker front. I was listening to Bill Simmons interview Matt Damon recently. Did you listen to that? It was good.
No.
It's really, really good. But Tobey Maguire is legitimately world class at poker, the actor. He makes more of his money now through poker than acting.
So is David Mitchell's wife, Victoria Corran, who presents Only Connect. She's great at poker.
Right.
She's won tournaments.
Right.
It's a great game.
Yeah.
I believe one of our colleagues, he's recently bought a house and he's mooting the notion of a poker school.
Agreed. Very good.
So I'm looking forward
Dear
to that.
God.
That is the news round for this evening. There's not too much going on, to be honest. It's mainly about the Premier League. After 8 o'clock, we'll have Brian O'Driscoll and Keith Wood in studio. We'll have Richard Dunne on the football show talking Henry versus Vieira. And up next, it's Manchester United at home to Arsenal. Philippe Auclair is with us in a moment.
Off the ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.